Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Just doing a little texting here. I was just thinking about something. You know what? You can't win without getting in a huddle. I was watching the Cleveland Browns last night. I don't even know if they huddled. I don't know if they needed to huddle. They needed to huddle. For sure they needed to huddle. But you know, you can't win without a huddle. And I was listening to a little bit of the chat that was going on here, pre-chat. Folks, you wouldn't believe how early some people get in here. If you want to really get the behind the scenes what's goes on, jump in here about a quarter till 7 in the morning. You go online, you can log right in there, become part of the queue. And some great information getting passed around in there. And they were speaking this morning as I joined. I was a little bit late getting in here. I was up early. About I hear that a lot. When are they going to turn on 5G? When are they going to stop doing this? When are they going to, who's they? Who is they? And how come they know what they are going to do? And we ain't got any idea what we're going to do. We're waiting for they to do something so we can gripe and moan and complain and react. What are they going to do? Do we ever change the pronoun? Does the pronoun ever go to what are we going to do? You do know this, don't you? That we way outnumber them. Way outnumber them. But look at the devil's team. Psalm 2, Spencer. I got that ready to go here this morning. It was as it always is. Listen, friends, if this would be the only scripture you would ever read in the Bible, you'd have a great understanding of what's going on. And I hate to be redundant and continually bring it up, but it tells us the whole story. This is the whole thing. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. It's what's going on. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, the enemy, they get in a huddle. They have a game plan. They execute their game plan. They work together. And the Cleveland Browns, they all want to do their own thing. Some want to, you get what I'm saying. It's one of the things I know that Mel's been working on with the Liberty Action Network. By the way, Spencer, get that ready to pull that thing up there again. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Stay right there. I go back to Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. So we have two sets of people right here at the beginning. We have the heathen and the people. Now, I would assume that the heathen are the heathen and the people are all the rest of us, including believers and non-believers. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, what are they going to do? What are they going to do next? When are they going to turn on 5G? When are they going to stop the vaccines? When are they, right? They. What about we? Where does we come into this equation? We. We don't even think that way, do we? Well, there's a lot of reasons why we don't even think that way. One of them is for the past 25, 30 years, we've been sitting around thinking we're going to get out of here. When things get tough, we'd be evacuated out of here. Because of that, we figure we'd grab all the gusto we can, have as much fun as we can, and live as good a life as we can, and accumulate as much stuff as we can, and then bloom when things get tough, we're going to be out of here. But it's looking more and more to me that if the Lord doesn't pull that parachute switch pretty quickly, some of us are going to go through some pretty tough stuff. Anybody want to say amen on that? Anybody want to give me a thumbs up? That's all around us. Because what? They. What says here in verse 4, he, how about him? He that sitteth in the heavens last. He, the Lord, shall have them in derision. How's he going to do that? He's going to do miracle stuff. Is that what he's going to do? Or is he going to raise up a team? He's going to finally get a team together and put them in a huddle and call a play and get them moving forward and doing some stuff. Why is it we think we're going to win this life and death battle, which it is, this life and death battle, without any bloodshed, without anybody getting their elbows skinned, without their knees getting scraped, without losing some jobs? How did Christianity ever get to the point where we think everything is wonderful, wonder-working miracle God? That's everything is done by the wonder-working miracles of God. I don't know if you know this or not. You can go through the Bible. The miracles are noted. When he does a miracle, it's noted. And God didn't always do miracles. He usually used people. Read Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame. God moved through people. He puts people in place. He moves people out of place. God is the orchestrator, the director, the head coach, but his team is the one who executes the plan. And when his quarterback's no good, he gets a new quarterback. And we won't even huddle. God's team is the church, and the church won't even huddle. Won't even get together and huddle. We could so overwhelm them right now. Who are they? Oh, it's the Bilderbergers. Oh, it's the Rothschild. Well, it's probably some truth to all that. There is probably some truth to all that. Where are the Christians, for heaven's sakes? Would you rather be a son of God or a son of the Rothschilds? Which would you rather be? Do you have more power by being a child of God or by being one of the Illuminatis? Illuminati, they have more power than the children of God, do they? Is that what we're supposed to believe here in this world today? Who are they? They're getting ready to do it. Coach, they are going to do it. They are doing this, coach. Really? What are we doing? Well, we're not doing anything. We're sitting around waiting to see what they're going to do. So that we can point out, see, there they go. There they go. See, there they are. What are we going to do? Our churches don't even talk to each other. Our pastors are in competition with each other. They don't even like each other. You know that, don't you? You know that the pastors don't even agree? You do know that, don't you?
Amen.
It's like four guys getting, it's like coming out of a huddle and four guys running four different plays. Some of them not even playing at all. They're just on the team. They're wearing their collar. They don't do anything. We are God's team. We are God's team, folks. Yes, he has an army of angels, but we live in a natural realm. Here in this natural realm, when Jesus said, all power has been given unto me, go ye therefore, he was talking about empowering us to do the work. What? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Do I seem frustrated this morning? Well, I'm frustrated because what we're going to have to go through, we don't have to go through. We didn't have to. God's in control. Yeah, I believe that. I believe he is. Why is he letting so many of you sit on your ass if he's in control? Oh, I know why. Because he gave you free will. Or does that only apply to sin? Free will only apply to sin? Free will doesn't apply to laziness and cowardliness and sitting on your butt? Free will doesn't apply to that? No? Huh? Free will upset some people. I'm frustrated this morning. We got a trail to blaze. And we're worried about what they are going to do. They are going to turn on 5G today. Well, hell's bells. Let's find out who they are. Let's root them out. Pluck them out. Pull them down. Oh, say, coach, that wouldn't be very Christian. Christians don't do that, Coach. Christians are loving and caring, considerate, and tolerant. Christians go along. Christians don't make waves, Coach. Christians obey evil governments. That's what the Bible teaches us to do, Coach. Obey those evil governments. Let them put their foot on your neck and suck all that taxation out of you and then kill babies with it. Go ahead, Coach. That's what Christians do now. We're not supposed to push back or fight back. And the consequences of it is our progeny, our children, going to pay the price for it. We got some stuff going on at Coach Dave Live. Pull it up here for me real quick. Spencer, did Jessica, did you ever make it in here this morning? I don't know if I did. I had a conversation with Jessica France. I can cover what she
wants. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. I didn't know if you had a chance to get in here or not. You had to get up and get yourself all pretty this morning. I appreciate you joining with us. I'm at our event page. Jessica's in here to talk about something even more than that. Next Thursday, I'm speaking at the Avon Lake Republican Club meeting up on the lake. Lake Erie. If you want to join us up there, we'll be up there. The Higher Sight Assault and Light Brigade, Mike Blake's got us up and running January 15th, 10 to 5. Come and join that one. You can find all the information you want to. 21st, we're going to go to the Ark Encounter. You want to do that one? Bobby's organizing that one. Chad's got the Texas Assault and Light Brigade up and running. Maryland, look at that, 29th. Maryland Assault and Light Brigade, their first huddle. Iowa huddle. I don't know if that one's still on or not. We'll have to check on that one and see for sure. But look at that. Good stuff going on. And then I was on the phone yesterday, finally was able to connect with Jessica France, bringing her in here this morning, because there's an event. For those of you here in Ohio, there's an event going on this weekend. Are you ready for this one? This one is free. Free. Jessica, unmute yourself and come on in here and tell us what's going on here in Ohio so these people can all come and get a free meal. And Spencer, as she's speaking, if you would, Spence, pull up her email. I forwarded an email to you, Spence. Go ahead, Jessica. What's going on?
All right. Thanks, Coach Dave. Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to be on.
By the way, hey, hang on. Homeschool mother of six. The elbow deep in fighting for her children. A homeschool mother of six. Go ahead, Jessica. I just yell sometimes. Hey. I'm not really mad.
Hey. So do I. So, yeah, I am. I'll start by saying that I am a founding member of Ohio Stands Up. Some of you might be familiar with that organization. We are an organization that developed over a year and a half ago to reclaim and preserve the civil liberties that Ohioans were losing. And we're doing that through legal action, through political action, and through educational action. And part of the political action that we are doing is, we are helping to recruit people for State Central Committee, and that is through a movement called Ohio Promise Keepers. And we want to recruit strong, conservative, bold red candidates to run for State Central Committee. And for those of you who may not be familiar with State Central Committee, that is the board of directors for the Ohio Republican Party. There are 66 members, two from each Senate district, one male, one female. And they are elected for two-year terms. And the next election will be in May during the primaries. That is the general election for State Central Committee members. And many people are not aware just of how important, how influential the State Central Committee members are in determining who is going to end up on the ballot and who are.
They pick the candidates, right, Jessica? The Central Committee basically picks the candidates.
Yes. And they provide the, they determine who gets the money. And so right now we've got a lot of issues that I could talk about with reforms that the Ohio Republican Party needs. But one of the major reforms that need to be made is we've got to have a platform. You know, you were talking about strategy this morning, Coach Dave, you were right on it. There's no strategy with the party. There's no platform. There's no vision. The Bible talks about where there's no vision, the people perish. Write it down, make it plain, have a plan. We don't have that. And we haven't had that for many years. We have been ignored as bold red conservatives, those of us who have tried to push the more moderate purple pastel Republican Party toward having those strong Reagan-esque candidates that represent us, represent our Judeo-Christian values, and we have been ignored. We have been silenced, and we are done being silenced, and we are saying no. Now is the time to root out those individuals who do not reflect who we are as conservatives, who are just there to make sure that that those political candidates get reelected who do not speak for us, who are making poor decisions, and who are hurting Ohioans. And now is the time to recruit and get those strong conservative candidates in who will speak for us, who will create a platform by which we hold candidates accountable.
Okay, Jessica, so let me go to the heart of it, because that's what I do here, okay? That's what I do here. Folks, shoot the other one up there, Spencer, if you could. The event they're having this Saturday, it's free, January 7th, at Callahan's Nightclub, 520 Park Street. Hey, JR, you guys hearing that? This is free. It's free, and they're trying to get people together. They're trying to get them out of their silos. Hey, Jessica, I got to tell you something. Yep. When I first saw this, it turned me off. Can I tell you why it turned me off? I saw this Ohio Promise Keepers. I was a serious Promise Keeper from the very, very beginning, right? And I saw the poster, and the first thing I saw was a bunch of women. It's the first thing I saw. Now, I know that that's not the intent of it, but evidently women are the only ones fighting in this fight. Is that safe to say, Jessica, or not? Is it mama bears? Are mama bears engaging in this fight again while men sit home and watch porn? Is that what's going on, you think?
I would say mama bears are leading the charge and in the fight. And I would not say that it would be a true statement to say that men are completely sitting on the sidelines, but it is a fair statement to say, you know, we need men to step up right now. We need men to be the leaders that God has called them to be. And so absolutely, we need to see more men getting involved, more fathers. They need to understand the times that we're in, what is at stake. The church needs to wake up and understand what is at stake, that we are called to this fight and find a place on the battle line. There is a place on the line for everyone.
Jessica, as much as we hate politics, politics is religion. Religion is politics. It's what drives the culture. It moves the culture. It protects the culture. Politics matter. We have to get involved. Okay, so Jessica, close it out here. January 7th, this Saturday night, Friday night, I'm sorry, 7 to 10. Give us what's going on there, Jess.
Yep. So this Friday night, 7 to 10 in Columbus at Callahan's, we will be having a lineup of some awesome speakers there. So we're going to be having individuals like Mark Paquita, who's running for Senate. We're going to have John Adams, who's running for Secretary of State. We're going to have Diana Fessler. She's a state school board member, former representative. We'll be having Ricky Pepin, who's an instructor with Institute of the Constitution. We'll be having two current State Central Committee members, Joanne Campbell, Laura Rosenberger, and then we'll also have Joseph and Alicia Healy, who are in the Franklin County area, who are both running for State Central Committee as a married couple team in their district. So these are some
and the knuckleheads. You got Sabrina and Jake knucklehead,
Sabrina,
right?
And Jake Warner. Yeah, they unfortunately they're not going to be able to be with us, but they are also running in Licking County. They're an amazing godly couple.
That's my county. Okay, Jessica, how do they get there? Do they have to register? What's going on? Meal free and everything?
Just show up. Yep, show up at 7 o'clock and maybe a little bit before 7 o'clock. And we will, if you want to, when you get there, we'll have a registration table. If you would like to provide your emails to follow us and what we're getting done. The other event that you guys put up on the screen there, that is an Ohio Stands Up event that's later in January, and that is going to be a ticketed event, so that is $50 a person, and that does include dinner, and the money toward that will go toward fighting the lawsuits that we are involved with right now, and we're involved in, I believe, 5 different lawsuits currently.
Amen.
Challenging the vaccine mandates.
If we don't have a grandbaby between now and then, my wife and I will be there on Friday night, and I encourage anybody else in the Columbus area to come and be part of it. We have to begin to work together. That's where the Liberty Action Network, the mail comes in, all that stuff. Jessica, I got to move on. Thanks for getting up early and fixing your hair and doing all those things. A homeschool mother of 6. Jess, what made you get involved with it? Don't you have enough stuff going on?
I do. I've never been a political person. That's the funny part about all of this. I thought it was enough just to vote for the person with the R behind their name. And I trusted that the candidate who said that they shared my belief system actually did. And what I've learned is, you know, like a lot of others, I've had my eyes open that I have to get more involved. I have to get in the fight. It's not enough for me just to go vote for the people with the R's behind their name. And God called me to this fight is the short answer. And I answered the call.
Amen.
Amen, Jess. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen.
All right, so brigade members, let's get some of you over there in Columbus and let's fill that room, help Jessica out. She's been doing it by herself. She's had some help, but they've both been sick. And so here it is upon us, and they hope to have a packed house. And let's help pack the house. All right?
Thanks
Jess. Jay. Thanks for being here. I'll give you more time later on, dear, all right?
Appreciate it.
God bless you,
hey,
Jessica.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, Jessica is also a school board member.
Jessica, you are a school board member? State school board, Jessica? Local school board?
Local.
You just won, didn't you? Yeah. Tell us that story, Jessica.
Well, that is an interesting story. So my friend and my mentor, who is a state school board member.
Time out. Yep. Six homeschooled children on the local school board. Six homes. Her children aren't even in the school. Go ahead, Jess.
All right. So my friend and mentor, who's a state school board member, she approached me and said she thought I ought to run for my local school district, the school board. And I said, you do know that I'm a homeschooling mom. She said, yeah. And she said, you're still part of the community. The decisions that they make still affect you. And I said, you know, you're right. And I was concerned about the decisions that my school district was making. And I talked to the parents in the community, and they were upset that their kids were being forced to mask and the social distancing that was happening and the some other issues. And so I said, you know, this is something that is a responsibility of the community, and it affects the community. And I have a opportunity here to be a voice for the parents, for the students, and for the teachers. And we can work together, and we can make a positive change where I live. And so I told her I would pray about it. And I talked to my husband, and I said, if the Lord wants me there, then he'll open the door. And there was five people running for three spots. One individual, I think his petition was not, they threw the petition out. There was some missing signatures that he needed. And then the other individual sadly died. So it's not the circumstances I would want to come into the school board on, but I have been placed on the school board, and I will serve the best of my ability. It's going to be a challenge. We've got a lot of challenges in our school district.
They need to surround you in prayer. You're against the beast, Jessica, as you're going to find out. As most people find out when they get on the local school board, all of the decisions are made up on high and forced down on you. So, sister, gird up, right? Put on the helmet of salvation, a blessed plate of righteousness. Gird your loins with truth. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Carry the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. We need more like you, Jess. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do. Go hug those kids. Love those kids. It's about those six little rats you got running around your house, isn't it, Jessica? Isn't that what it's about?
Yes.
How old is your oldest, Jess? How old is your oldest?
My oldest actually just graduated not too long ago. He's 19. My youngest is 9. So the boys are on the end, the bookend boys, and then four girls in the middle.
God help us. Go get them, Jess. We're in your corner, dear.
Thank you.
You call us anytime, all right, sweetie? Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I shouldn't call people sweetie. It's just my training. I'm an old guy. I'm 69 years old. It used to be a compliment. So, Jessica, if I call you sweetie, it's a compliment, okay?
It's a compliment. We're good.
All right. Thanks, Jess. God bless. You can hang. You can go. Whatever you want to do. I understand your dilemma. Clay, come on in real quick. And then Glenn.
I just wanted to give praise to Jessica. She could have used those six kids homeschooling. That's a full-time job. She could have used that as an excuse not to do anything. She's an inspiration. Thank you, Jessica, for being a warrior and a servant to God and our country. And I just praise you for that, and you're an example to men and women all over this country and world. Thank you for what you're doing.
Take it back. Saddle up your horses, baby. Saddle up your horses. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, Clay, you stole my thunder. Thank you, Jessica. I just want to ditto that. But also, for those in the local area, we are going to – Joe Healy, the state coordinator for the Ohio Patriot Alliance, has agreed to come to the Ohio meeting January 15th, the brigade meeting. So he teaches people how the system works, how you can become a part of the county central committee. Okay, so that might be a little bit easier to start than the state central committee. So I've decided to foray into the public arena for the first time. I'm going to run in my ward for the county central committee. So we'll see how that goes. But for those in the local area, come and hear how the system works. You'll be educated. Joe really lays it out well.
Let's take it back.
Thank you, Jessica.
Yes, let's take that thing back. Mel, come in real quick. Mel, talk a little bit about Liberty Action Network and how you're trying to connect all these people together. Spencer, if you can, throw that up there for us real quickly.
Great. Hey, thanks, Coach. So, yeah, what the Liberty Action Network is becoming, I mean, in 2020, you know, we were that's where I met you, Coach. We were at the State House and, you know, we were wanting to open up Ohio but the problem in 2020 that we realized, you know, and kind of looking around, there were tons of people there, not just the old Tea Party folks. There were young people and, you know, libertarians. I mean, so many, but everybody was, you know, doing great work, but it was in silos. You and I have talked about that a lot. So, you know, a group of us got together and started to say, you know, wouldn't we be more effective if we could work together? I mean, it's a simple and obvious question to ask, but you know, these, just like in the churches, I mean, you know, and it's not just political in the churches, but just everything. Everybody kind of wants their turf. They want to mark their place and, you know, develop their own thing. And so in 2021, we started working, you know, with the idea of God and country. And we had so many meetings, you know, with these leaders trying to figure it out. And, you know, my position and a lot of the, you know, some other people on the admin team was like, you know, God and country with God in the first position. But over time, it just became just a tiny bit of God. Like we'd say a prayer at the beginning of the meeting, but then it became mostly political.
So like church.
Yeah. In September, you know, we decided to firmly plant our flag in God first, distinctly Christian, you know, kingdom focused work. And, you know, at the end of November, we launched our website and our forum. So, yeah, we're excited. What I really feel like we're doing is we're building a network of doers. So we use James 1:25 as our Bible verse, and that is, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Freeze right there, Spencer. So Mel, real quickly, what you've tried to do with the Liberty Action Network, folks, you see they divided it into regions. You understand that? And Mel's trying to connect people in the blue regions with each other, the ones in the red regions with each other, wanting to try to organize a team, right? That's what's going on. That's kind of where we ran across Jessica and all the great stuff she's doing and Joe Healy. And I don't know if you remember, Joe Healy's wife was the one who was arrested at Planned Parenthood. Do you remember that story? Was she just walking and praying around Planned Parenthood? First time she'd ever been there. Alicia got arrested. Oh, my. Hey, folks, listen. We're going to win. Do you understand this? We haven't even started to put a team together yet. We're about two generations behind. We're going to win. For those of you sitting on the Rapture bus, you can go over in Indiana and you can sit over there. But here in Ohio, we're going to fight to the very end. We're going to occupy till he comes. That's what we're going to do. And God bless Jessica and Joe Healy and Alicia and Mel and Jim Harrison and Glenn and everybody who's actually getting involved. Jeff Klein, folks, we are going to win, but we're going to have to get off of our butts. Mel, I'm going to move on. We'll talk more about this later. All right, Jessica, Mel. Oh my goodness. Listen, Psalm 2. Okay, so look, here it is. Pull up the Rappaport scam. I'm going to get into some stuff today. Am I allowed to say kiss with a P? So listen, anytime you hear me say kiss, you know I meant to put P in front of it, right? So this really kissed me off, if you know what I'm talking about. Did you guys know this? No, you didn't know this. John Rappaport. Since the beginning, I've been producing the evidence that COVID is a scam. Now it's official. Agencies are virtually admitting it. On December 29th, the head of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, announced in a White House press briefing that the PCR test can register positive long after infection is over. What does that mean? That means a person could have been infected 3 months ago and she'll still show up positive. Here's Walensky's money quote. People can remain PCR positive for up to 3 months after injection and long after they are transmissible and infectious. So people have picked up the COVID, they live through it, and they still get tested positive for up to 3 months, and the CDC knew it. They knew it! That means millions of false positive results have been logged as real in the past 2 years. If you can't trace the implications of that, I can't help you. Recall the old Zen koan, what is the sound of one hand clapping? The new version is, what is the sound of the White House press corps after Walensky's admission? And the answer is nothing, zero, silence, and not a stunned silence, no, clueless silence, sold out silence, no shouting, no fear, no questions. Dear Mr. Smith, we here at the CDC wish to inform you that your positive PCR COVID test administered in the spring of 2020 was misleading. There was no proof it meant you were infected. Therefore, your isolation, your hospitalization during which your business closed and went into bankruptcy, and your wife left home to take up residence with the children at her mother's, and your business partner committed suicide, all that was unnecessary, but thank you for understanding. Of course, the blind following Fauci will say, but the CDC couldn't have made a mistake that big. There must be some explanation. And yeah, there's an explanation. The CDC and other public health officials have known all along that they were running a scam, committing a crime, a Nuremberg-type crime.
Boom.
Folks, for 3 months after you've had the flu, it shows up positive. 3 months afterwards, still getting tested. And I run into friends, family members, who still say they get tested positive for COVID. I said, COVID's dead. COVID's 2 years old. It isn't COVID anymore. And I was right. Wouldn't you know it? Huh? Some old helmet head was right. Why do you think they give you a new different flu vaccine every year? Because the old flu's dead. COVID's dead. I'm not done. So are you sitting down? No, you're not sitting down. But you ought to be. Go to insurance deaths. Insurance deaths, Spencer. Do you see that one? The Indiana Life Insurance CEO says deaths up, folks. Deaths are up 40%. This is from an insurance company. Deaths are up 40% among people age 18 to 64. Scroll on down. And if you read the fine print, you're going to find out not only are deaths up 18 to 40%, they now have determined that they are you ready? A non-COVID deaths. Davidson said huge, huge numbers. And that's not elderly people who are dying, but primarily working age people, 18 to 64, who are employees of companies that have group insurance. And what we saw in the third quarter, we're seeing it continue into the fourth quarter, is that death rates are up 40% over what they were pre-pandemic. Just to give you an idea how bad that is, a three-year sigma of one in 200-year catastrophe would be a 10% increase. 40% of is just unheard of. What the data is showing to us is that the deaths are being reported as COVID deaths greatly understate the actual death losses among working age people from the pandemic. It may not all be COVID on the death certificate, but deaths are just huge, huge numbers. He said at the same time the company is seeking an uptick in disability claims, saying at first it was short. Scroll down, Hunter, Spencer. You get it. You get it, right? People are dying. They're in COVID. Now, who is saying that? Who is telling us that about months and months and months ago? Wouldn't it Dr. Sherry Tenpenny said, wait till the fall hits and all of a sudden people are going to be dying? Going to be a lot of people dying. Didn't she say that? And what do we find out? The doctors are lying to us. The CDC is lying to us. They knew this stuff all along. They continue to do it. They continue to, I'm telling you, if it was possible to get enraged any more than I am, I'd be enraged. Go to the next one. Michael Yaden, Global Research. My wife's, what? Oh, yeah, thank you.
We would request prayer for him.
Thank you. Thank you. While I catch my breath. Hey, folks out there, let's be praying for OJ. He had x-rays yesterday, and he's having a heart. He hadn't taken a vaccine, but he's having some type of heart issue. He's okay. He's alive and everything. But if you will out there, just put OJ in to read on your prayer list. Will you pray for? Sorry, Michelle. See how my wife calms me down. She just has a way of calming me down, right? 42 years. She just says the right word. The numbers killed by these vaccines is much worse than we thought, says Dr. Sukarat Bhakdati and Dr. Michael Yaden. Scroll on down, my friend. He and his colleague, a pathologist, have confirmed that even in people who've died at post-COVID-19 vaccination, where the death was not attributed to the adverse effects of vaccination, in almost all cases, they did die as a result of the vaccination. The numbers killed by these vaccines is much worse than we thought already. But it's what they've just discovered that's much worse. Are you ready? We knew of blood clots from expressing spike protein. We were aware of autoimmune attacks on one's own tissues expressing spike protein to which our killer lymphocytes were primed, such as myocarditis. But what's new is the revelation that the lymph node cells are also being invaded by gene-based agents and making them for auto-destruction. When you destroy that part of the immune system, which we loosely call immune surveillance, every manner of nasty latent infection by viruses and also bacteria explode uncontrolled. Hundreds of millions of people are going to die of unrestricted tuberculosis, Epstein-Barr virus, toxoplasmosis, etc., etc. And on top of this, the daily accidental production of cancer cells, normally deleted by swiftly immune surveillance before they can divide, ceases. And guess what happens next? I don't care where you sat during this ridiculous pandemic. Well, you've gone along with it, knowing it was an overreaction or even an ignorance. I'm telling you right now, Dr. Yaden says, if you personally, having watched this, choose to settle back, if you personally, having watched this, choose to settle back to watch a film instead of calling some people you know and telling them about it, the end of humanity is a shared burden with the perpetrators. Please put this on every platform. Swamp the fact checkers. Please do it now. Rescue our civilization while there are still innocents to save, especially Jessica's children and Grant and Coach Dave's grandchildren. Thank you sincerely, Michael Yaden, Dr. Michael Yaden. And then a video attached to it. You can share the video. Huh? And what are we saying? When are they gonna turn on 5G? Hey, Ethel. Hey, Ethel, when are they going to stop having all that food? Folks, we're in the midst of the war now. I know some of you want to get in here. I'm not done yet. Bear with me. Jessica took up all my time. Just kidding, Jessica. Just kidding. Spencer, pull up. They're ready to kill us. Started at 2:26. This is a great video we got to post as well. Hey, this is Pete Santilli. Anybody know how to get me in contact with Pete Santilli? He lives in Cincinnati. He broadcasts every day out of Cincinnati. I want to talk to Pete Santilli. Here's a brief couple-minute clip. Go ahead. Let me give you a background.
Hi, bro.
This guy was a Weather Underground guy. He was on the inside of everything that they're doing to us now. He was on the inside. Go ahead.
brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. You know, we become responsible then for administrating, you know, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States. They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest, where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill 25 million people. I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have
kings of this earth
from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
Okay, go to forward it ahead a little bit to 605 if you can, Spence. 605. Robert F. Kennedy, 605. Did you guys hear this? Did I play this yesterday? I can't remember. It's worth another play. Go ahead.
2022.
It's time we started standing up to all of these mandates. You remember when the government told us, when Tony Fauci told us that we were going to lock down, he said it was for 2 weeks. And now it's been almost 2 years. And I'm going to tell you three things that you need to remember in this critical day and age. One is that once government acquires a power, it never lets it go voluntarily. The second thing that we need to know is that every power that government acquires, using this pandemic as a pretense, it will ultimately abuse to the maximum effect possible. And this is just a rule that is as certain as gravity. The third thing that you need to know is that nobody has ever complied their way out of totalitarianism. Every time you comply, the demands will get greater and greater. We need to resolve that here and now, this is the hill that we need to die on. They have come for our jobs. They've come for our transport. Now they're coming for our children. And we have an obligation as parents to protect them. There has never been a government in history that has told its people, we are going to demand that children sacrifice themselves and take risks to save old people. It's always the other way around. The old, the mature, the adults always put themselves at risk to protect their children. This is an ethical issue. It's a moral issue. It's an issue of character for each of us, and it's an issue about the preservation of democracy and public health. We all need to stand up now and do everything that we can to block these power plays by authoritarian powers that are trying to steal from us the health of our children.
Okay, hey, Psalm 2, Spencer, go to the 1041 mark. Same broadcast, 1041 mark. Kings of this earth, Pete Santilli. Somebody get me in touch with Pete.
This is the hill that we die on. And if you're catching this excerpt from our team that's making, Primo, this is the next one, from Larry Grathwell to this moment, on this January 3rd, 2022. This is another excerpt. We're going to be broadcasting on platforms that will not take us down. Rumble will not take us down. Foxhole will not take us down. Citizen Stringer will not take us down. Locals will not take us down. None of those platforms will take us down. We're going to broadcast this stuff out. You share it on all these other platforms. We will not participate in those on those communist platforms. All we will do is abuse it with the truth. We, the people, need to share on those other platforms. I'm not going to broadcast on those platforms. You come to us. Come to the new Trump network by joining us at PeteSantilli.locals.com and all those platforms that are broadcasting the truth, and we will. And we will. You will not be able to stop us. If you think you can kill a million of us, we'll put 500 million behind that. If you think you can kill 5 million, we'll put 100 million behind that. You will not be able to, you'll be able to try, but eventually you will cave, we will win, God wins.
God wins.
And
God wins. Leslie, come on in.
All right, well, this is about what Michelle Walensky said. She tried to even make herself credible, saying that there is a COVID. Well, no, there's not. So the whole premise is broken, and she's trying to add credibility to herself. I go into a doctor's office, and I have to inform and educate them and say, there is no isolated COVID anywhere. They have not been able to do that. The only thing you get is a computer printout. So she is trying to add credibility, and it's a bioweapon.
It's a bioweapon. It's a bioweapon. Rochelle, wake up!
Hey. I'm trying. Good morning, team. I like to bring you some headlines. This is one. I'm confused by this, so I love your thoughts. Australia admits widespread severe injuries from COVID jab. Wait. And offers compensation to victims. So this is in Australia. The 7 News station reported on Friday as many as 79,000 people, blah, 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 side effects, dole out over $600,000 in compensation for the victims.
Mm.
So right here, they are admitting that the jab is hurting people. And this is Australia, who's been locking people down for 2 years. And now they're
are you ready? I'm going to trumpet, Rochelle. No, I'm not going to trumpet. But you led right. Spencer, pull up Simon Owen email. Pull it up for me if you can. Simon Owen. You guys know him? Simon Owen? Say, no, I don't know him. He finished second to Jack Nicklaus in the 1978, I think it was, British Open. He's a professional golfer. He lives in Australia. And I communicate pretty regularly with Simon Owen. All right? He sent me an email. Sent me an email yesterday. Pulled up. Rochelle, right? He says, Happy New Year, Coach. Simon, you're watching, Simon. I'm sure you don't mind I share this. Who knows where these devils want to take us in 2020? The town where I live, Taupo, has officially become apartheid. I recently bumped into our mayor and asked him how he was enjoying his new apartheid town. His exact comment to me was, yeah, it's a bit of a throwback to the 1960s. And then he sheepishly took off. Us purebloods are not allowed to enter many of the council buildings like library, museums, swimming pools, etc. This is Australia, folks. We got a fanatical and bloodthirsty WEF Klaus Schwab, trained Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, who is set on getting the shots to kill as many people as possible. From the end of this month, the 5 and 11-year-olds are in the crosshairs. They're saying that they're close to 90% of our population has received the kill shots. I would doubt it's that high. I've added a few pictures of me and my battle gear that I regularly patrol the streets of Taupo in. From my experience, I would estimate that probably 50% of the population are totally beyond help. They've literally been brainwashed by constant bombardment of the wicked MSM. You can see the hatred in their eyes and also the blank emptiness of their expressions. I believe many of these people are lost without hope. I hope I'm wrong, but I doubt it. Don't get me started on the bloody mask. I'll never get used to the half-wits that wear them. Usually in the supermarket, I'm the only person unmasked. It's creepy. But there's good news. There are many that are either awake or in the process of waking up. These are the people I'm praying to reach with truth. I've recently teamed up with a young guy in his 30s who started coming along with me. He loves it. He's on fire. We're having a good hot summer over here. But I believe we're starting to see much more of the dreadful consequences of this wicked kill shot come the autumn and winter. They are just about to begin the booster shots now. Like most Western countries, many people and health professionals with a brain and a conscience have lost their jobs. It's really a satanically inspired operation that we're witnessing. Exciting times, Coach. The word Tamariki on his sign, Tamariki means children in the Maori language. Jacinda, keep your dangerous experimental jabs away from our Tamariki. So Simon took our shirt and did a version of it. The fear of Yahuwah is the beginning of wisdom. Look on the back. Scroll up, Spencer. This is one of us. This is one of us in Australia. Yeshua Messiah is the judge. Therefore, abortions, murder, homosexuality. There's our shirt. Whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahuwah shall be saved. God bless Simon Owen. God bless him over in New Zealand. Did I say Australia? He's in New Zealand. Thanks, Spencer. I get all those places mixed up. They aren't important. They're not America. Come on in, Joe.
You see, in New York, they had two young couples. Coach, you got that stick man picture?
Yeah, somewhere here.
Two young couples died of the COVID for the shot. They had three children. Children are fathers and motherless now. All those forms that we're going to raise money here, raise money. When are we going to be like Europe and go to the streets? It's time to go to the streets.
It's time, brother. It's time. It's time. Head knowledge, weak body.
All this knowledge that we got, it's time to go.
Hey, Joe.
Just saying, it's just a question.
Hey, Joe, we're going to wait till they lock up the leaders? Is that what we're going to wait on? Come on in, Tracy.
Hey, good morning, everyone. When they actually censor the doctor that invented the mRNA vaccine.
Robert Malone is banned.
Dr. Malone for speaking out about the evil that they're doing with it. We're in trouble. People are not, if they won't wake up to that.
They're not awake. They're scared. We're afraid. Christians love their lives too much. Christians love their lives more than they love their children, their grandchildren, and the truth. I'm going to say that again. Jesus told us not to love our lives. Love not your lives. Christianity has taught us for two generations to love your life. God loves you too. Why wouldn't he love you? You're the most wonderful thing. It's all about you. And look where we are. Randy, come on in.
Coach, it's people like Jessica. It's people like Simon down there in New Zealand, the coach that inspires me to keep doing this and to keep going. You know, it looks like we fight, and sometimes we get tired and we look and we go, Lord, is it worth it? And then I hear Jessica, I hear people like this, and it just inspires me to keep fighting in my local. It's
well,
local.
Living, Randy.
Everyone stay local. Fight in your locale. It's going to change. This is God's method. He's starting at the bottom. It's a grassroots move. It's a move of God, Coach. We have to understand this is the bottom of the spiritual awakening. We
Amen,
are
brother.
Part of this, and that's what we have to do our jobs, coaches.
Amen. Winners bounce, baby. We're like a rubber ball. We bounce. We hit the ground. We're on our way back up. Betty, come on in.
Good morning. Great job, Coach. But anyway, there's a girl down in Australia. She's on David Hebner. And she said that she had her Christian, Pureflix and stuff canceled, two of them. So she goes to the bank to say, why is it canceled? It is being charged to my account. And after an argument, the guy, to make it short, he finally said, we own your money. So now she said, we cannot buy outside Australia. So I can't even get close to my granddaughters. She can only buy certain foods from the grocery stores. She said, it's getting so bad. And they're building these camps that have rooms. And there's 6x8 rooms where they're putting people. And she
Betty, that's all conspiracy theory. Come on in, Naomi.
Exactly.
That's true. No, trust me.
First, I'd like to say, Spencer, can you please put all those links in the chat? And then second is, remember the rich man and Lazarus. When they died, the rich man called up to Father Abraham and said, please send somebody to warn my people. And Father Abraham said they have all the prophets that are living and are right there. If they can't listen to them, what makes you think they're going to listen to somebody who comes back from the dead?
That's right. We're going to win, though, because it shows like this, right? It ain't Rush Limbaugh going to save us. Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck. No, no, it shows like this. Have you ever turned on a show and seen this kind of stuff? You know, anywhere that you can go and get the stuff you get here in the morning. It's crazy. Come on in, Bobby. I'm taking my
yesterday,
hat off.
Yesterday, I passed two SUVs with the nice, pretty color stuff on their on the vans. Vaccine units. So what does it take for – I mean, that's a big deal. What does it take? A van that says vaccine rapid response transport unit? I mean, they already rolling these vehicles out right Bobby, now to go to your home.
The vaccines are killing people, Bobby. The vaccines – do folks, do you understand that? Do you understand the vaccines are killing people and we remain silent? We remain silent? Really? Silver.
Coach. The people that are taking the vaccines are the new mission field because they don't have much time.
Yeah.
We have to get to them. And what you were talking about at the beginning of the show, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth.
Wow.
Because thou sayest I am rich and have increased with goods and have in need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, with and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he will with and he with me. And to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. I am set down with my Father in his throne. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We have to find the people that have these things, that have taken the shot, they're going to die soon, they have all their stuff, they're being obedient, they're doing all this kind of stuff. They don't even know who God is, or they think they do. Not really. Those are the people we need to find, and find them quickly.
Fields are white unto harvest. Jerry, come on in, and Jeff.
God bless you, Coach. God bless everyone here. Just want to say you're over the target again, Coach. And I want to encourage you a bit. Dr. Robert Malone was on Joe Rogan on December 30th, and a lot of people seen what he said. So the truth is getting up.
Oh, yeah, we're winning, baby. We're winning. Jeff, come on in.
Silver, you nailed it. I was just at my mom's house Sunday afternoon. It was her birthday, 84 years old, locked down for 2 years, all kinds of money, 200-acre farm, got both jabs. A week ago, my sister, the nurse, got her the reports, stack of pages to read on don't take any more shots. Usually it, when I'm out there, she says to me, don't you start preaching. We got to share everything with her, all the stuff we've been learning on the show in the last few weeks, of these doctors and stuff. And she listened. They both listened and didn't tell me to shut up. Amen.
Glenn.
Okay, here's the wrap-up verse for today. Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small.
Saddle up your horses, huh, Glenn? Saddle up your horses. We got a trail to blaze. What a time to be alive. Love not your own life, even to the point of death. We got a story to tell. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Amen.